Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Olympic silver medalist Gail Emms, MBE, has written her autobiography, Grit and Goose Feathers. And she's joined us in the studio. Hi, Gail.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
Yeah. You've written a couple of books. Your second book or your
third? It's my second book, yeah. The first one was on my mother, which I never thought I'd write a book of my mum. But yeah. My mum's a little bit of a hero because she was a footballer. She was one of the first Lionesses. So played in the 1971, which was classed as the unofficial first Women's World Cup. But my mum was part of that team. So only six English people have scored in the Azteca Stadium. Gary Lineker's top with three goals. My mum's next with two. There we go.
What a stat, isn't it?
It's a brilliant thing. Yeah, try growing up with that, though.
So why badminton and not football for you?
Yeah, because my mum, she went through so much abuse. You know, there were no pathways when I was growing up. There was very little girls' football. So my mum could see that I was sporty. But again, she just said, well, what's the point of playing kicking a ball with you? So she just tried every other sport with me. It just happened that badminton was the sport for me.
Wow. And of course, you're incredibly successful at it.
I did all right.
Commonwealth Games and Olympics.
Yeah.
And that was a mad time. I went off to one of these audience withs that they had at ITV. And you were there with Nathan, we partnered you at the Olympics. And you were kind of everywhere, you guys. You were doing lots of showbiz stuff. Yeah. They got you up, big round of applause. It was a lot of media attention.
Well, back then, we didn't win many medals. And it seems really weird now because I can remember most medalists from, you know, like 88, 92, 96, all the, you know, and in 2000. But now we're so good. Team GB are brilliant. And we win so many medals in so many sports. I feel a bit bad because I don't think I could name many. Paris, and you know, Paris was last year. Yeah. Yes, last year. I don't know. We were at a perfect time.
It was pre-lottery money.
Exactly. Yeah. It was that just coming into lottery funding. And I think it was right time, Athens as well, the you know, time zones as well. And there wasn't anything else going on when Nathan and I reached that Olympic final. So everyone, we had 6 million people tune in to watch a badminton match, which is crazy when you think about it now.
Wow. And you went for gold at the next Olympics and it wasn't to be. And there's a story in the man who helped you out, put an arm around your shoulder and some McDonald's chicken nuggets in front of you. Andy Murray.
Andy Murray was my flatmate in Beijing. And obviously I hadn't met Andy. And obviously he's got a bit of a reputation in the media, you know. So I was a little bit unsure what he was like. And he turned up and he was like, so what's this all about then? And I just went, what? Because tennis, you could argue, should it be in the Olympics?
Yeah.
Well, him and Jamie certainly rocked up and in their own kit, like really casual. So I had a right go at them. And I said, this has been my dreams as a little girl. Can you treat this with respect? And fair play, you know, they sort of got their heads. I had to show them around the food hall because they were like, you have to get your own food. And I was like, oh my gosh, there you go, that's tennis players.
Yeah.
But they did come and they'd been knocked out and then they came and supported the quarterfinals. Judy Murray, their mum, huge badminton fan. And obviously we lost to the Koreans and I was crying my eyes out. And I got onto the bus and there was only one seat left and it was next to Andy. And he looked at me because obviously snot tears everywhere. He was like, no. I went, you are sitting there and you're going to talk to me about anything other than badminton. So for 45 minutes, bless him, he did. He chatted about everything, his dog, his house. And then when we got back, we went to the food hall and he went and got me some chicken nuggets.
Nice touch.
Exactly.
It's like a McDonald's ad, that, isn't it?
It is a little bit. Good. Thanks to the sponsors of the Olympics, exactly. Yeah.
The book, as you'd expect from you, it's pretty honest, isn't it?
Yeah.
You lay everything bare and you talk about even being, I was fascinated by this, that you were jealous of Nathan Robertson's new partner, which is a really honest thing to admit.
It is. And it was, you know, Nathan and I, you go through so much as a partnership. You know, we were never romantically involved or anything like that. And so when I retired, I expected him to beg me, don't go, don't leave me and all this. And it was nothing, right? And then you get replaced by a 21-year-old tall brunette called Jenny.
Yeah.
And it kicked me. It was like breaking my heart.
Yeah.
And it was watching, you know, like an ex with their new partner and all that emotion, you know, it's like, no, it's Nathan and Gail. And then it was Nathan and Jenny. And you're like replaced. And that's what it was like. It was like a huge kick to the ego. It was really, really, and that's, you're not wanted anymore. That's, you know, you've been replaced. You're easy to replace.
Yeah.
And
also, you know, you talk about the struggles of kind of finding a place. You're famous for something that you can't kind of do anymore.
Yeah.
And it may be that in some areas their work dries up that's associated with that. Yeah. And you're kind of looking for a place in the world. And you're very upfront about your mental health struggles yeah. around that as well.
I wish someone had told me you'll never feel the same the way you feel on a badminton court playing for your country. And it sounds such a simple thing to say. But you're in a bubble as a sports person. You've interviewed loads of sports people, sure. current and ex. And it is something, you know, you have to put yourself, it's unique.
Mm.
And then you try and replace that when you come out of it. And you just think, I can do this. Mm. And the normal world is not sports world. And that's what was the biggest shock to me. And I should have held my hands up. I should have asked for help. I should have done things a lot sooner than I did, but you know, you learn.
Yeah. Dance music is a bit of a therapy for you, you say. Mm. How did that all come up? Have you always been a fan?
I've always been a raver. I mean, yeah. always been a cheesy craver, you know. Yeah. I've loved house music for all the time, you know, the whole Pete Tong, Judge Jules, all that, you know, the 90s Ibiza. And then I think it was my kids were a little bit older and I had tickets for Fatboy Slim. I think it was probably about 2017, 2018.
Mm.
And I fell in love again. And it was, and do you know what? It was the therapy and, you know, that replacement.
Mm. Mm.
And I sort of looked into it. And now I've been going, I'm going tomorrow night. I'm going to the Cross, the King's Cross in Stepfontaine. And it has been just this beautiful part of me that, you know, just dancing, feeling free, being around people that are just, you know, in the same wavelength. And it has been, my therapy.
You put a lot down to you met a life coach, didn't you, called Steph, and I think she helped you a lot, didn't she?
She did, and I'm so glad because I think there's been some books out recently where someone's not been in a right place to write certain things.
Yeah.
And and I think that could have,
I can't imagine you're talking about.
Yeah. Don't know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So this book could have been very different if I'd have been in a different place, and that's for sure. And again, I'm sure you've read sports autobiographies, and you've gone a bit, you know, and I'm looking it through adult eyes. I'm looking it through mature-ish eyes. I'm never going to be properly mature. But I think that was important because if I'd have written it a few years ago, it could have been a little bit childish and I didn't want to write a book like that. So, Steph has been brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. You've done lots of sort of celebrity TV, haven't you? Sort of,
I have.
What have been your favourites? What have been the highs and lows?
What's been the highs? I won a TV programme called Eternal Glory.
Oh, wow.
All right, it was only one series. Obviously, it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
But look, I won it. That's probably why they didn't do it anymore. They were like, oh, gosh, badminton girls won it. Wow, it was up. We had Shane Williams, Matt Letizier. We had James Cracknell, myself, Liz McColgan, long jumper Jade Johnson.
Yeah.
And Christian Malcolm. And we all had these exercises all against each other. So who would be the ultimate all-round person? And it was myself and James Cracknell in the final. So I'm 5'3". He's 6'6", giant rowing machine.
Mm.
And the last challenge was a reaction challenge. And, of course, you know, badminton reactions. And I won it. And I was like,
James, you beat him. That's good going.
I know. James still doesn't speak to me.
I wave
the trophy around a little bit too much.
Yeah, fair enough. Do you ever play badminton anymore? Have you ever picked up a racket?
I only play with my boys because it's always fun to, you know, to beat them.
So you didn't want to keep
them. I am that parent.
Yeah.
But I play pickleball now. Oh, I've gone even geekier.
Right.
So I laugh. I've gone from smashing cocks to whacking balls.
And you haven't got, not paddle? You've not gone down that route?
I love paddle too. Right. I am obsessed with paddle tennis, but I played the Pickleball National Championships last weekend and lost. So I haven't quite made world number one yet in pickleball. But watch your space. You never know.
You must be quite good though.
Yeah,
well, I'm all right. I can hit it quite hard.
So you didn't want to coach? You didn't want to coach at any sort of level?
I think coaching, you have to be that kind of person. I said you're either a teacher or a communicator. Mm-hmm. And I definitely love the communication side. I love talking about the psychology of sport, the mindset of sport. That for me is brilliant. I could do that. Coaching, I just go, just hit it over the net.
Right.
You know,
probably wouldn't wash that, would it, really?
Apparently not. Apparently the coaching
it's a real back-to-basics coaching style.
Back-to-basics with Gail. Yeah.
So life is good, Gail, at the moment?
Life is really good.
That's good.
And I'm really happy, and I think that's a great place. I'm living my best life, and hopefully you'll see that in the book as well. You get a sense of joy.
That's good.
There are always going to be obstacles, but it's what you do with them, isn't it, I guess?
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming in. Galim's book, Grit and Goose Feathers, is out now in hardback, published by Pitch Publishing. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Stan Collymore joining us in the next hour. Get his thoughts on England, look ahead to the Premier League weekend. And we'll salute the return of Bullseye as well. That's all to come.